Blog Talk Radio.
This is real talk for real people, and that's particularly intense statement. And certainly we do need devotion by all accounts. You see, we have a Hurricane Delta bearing down on the coast of Louisiana. We have white racist supremacists trying to overthrow governors. And we have a so-called president who's affected by COVID-19 and wants to have a rally on the South Lawn in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. It reminds me of a magazine I used to read quite often when I was a child. It was called Mad Magazine. And that is most certainly the case, the Mad Magazine. I like that magazine. I don't too much care for that fellow at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, but that goes without saying. But that's why these studies are essential to you, because you need to keep your hopes up. You need to keep focus, keep your perspective, and don't lean to your own understanding, nor anyone else for that matter. But before we get started in our studies, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City. I'm pretty sure he remembers those Mad magazines. Cottrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. Shalom, Brother Yan Sufari.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you, Cottrell.
Mad Magazine?
Mad Magazine. I used to like Mad Magazine. You know, a little fella in the front with the gap teeth. You know what I mean? In front of the magazine. On the front cover.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we're not living in the magazine. We live in reality.
Real life.
We got a dude in the White House that's acting like that magazine, Mad Magazine.
Mad Magazine.
But most I said the nations are like a drop in the bucket.
Here today, gone tomorrow.
He blows them on them and they wither and they die.
Mm-hmm.
So the Babylonians are around. The Medes and the Persians ain't around.
Uh-huh.
The ancient Egyptians ain't around. And we know how Yah deals with nations. So this nation, in our presence, in our time, they're trying to present themselves as awesome and mighty and powerful. But Moshe went into Egypt with a stick and defeated the whole mighty nation of Israel, of Egypt,
right,
by the power of Yah with a staff in his hand.
Exactly.
So there's nothing impossible for the Most High Yah, and he's going to show his power in the midst of the nations, which is what we have been reading. So exactly. The nations may be stirring up fear in you, and you may not be understanding what's going on, but Yah's telling us what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in control. He controls the sun, right, the moon, the stars, the earth, its rotation, and even nations that he created that's in the midst of the earth. So what we're reading is for our benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats and the Republicans ain't teaching us this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Exactly.
The Democrats and the Republicans are not teaching us the word of Yah. Nor are they leaders, men of God, men of truth, or people of unjust gain.
Exactly.
So you voting? You're voting for the wrong thing.
Exactly. All right, Cottrell. All right, fellow students. Thank you, Cottrell. Let's get busy in our studies. The 33rd chapter of Bereshit. No, not Genesis. Bereshit. The first book. The first Hebrew book. Give you a few seconds to get there. And as we know from previous chapters, Yaakov, and recently named Israel, is going home after 20 years of servitude to Laban. And he's acquired a lot thanks to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's acquired a lot. He's acquired a lot of humility. He acquired fortitude, wisdom and understanding, but most importantly, he required a lot of humility, unlike, unfortunately, some of us.
But now, Safari,
Yes, go ahead, my brother.
When he asked the angel for a blessing, how did the angel bless him?
Let me read.
He changed his name from Jacob to Israel.
Israel, right. Okay. Pray tell me your name. Yaakov said, pray. And he said, he took leave of him, so he gave him the blessing. And Yaakov named the place Peniel. And the new name he gave him was Isaac, because you have.
He gave him the name of Yisrael, not Isaac. Isaac is the name that he who will laugh.
Right.
Yeah. But
he gave
Yisrael is a whole different.
Gamut.
That's his name.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blessing.
Right.
The name of our father being changed from Jacob to Israel.
Right.
Was a blessing from the angel that he wrestled all night long.
Right.
Came out with a limp, but the blessing was that his name was changed.
Mm-hmm.
We don't understand the significance of that. We came to America, and what did they do?
Change our name. Mm-hmm. And
that which means that they took our blessing.
Exactly.
Our ancient father wrestled for his name, which was a blessing, Yisrael.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You shall not be called Jacob, right?
Exactly.
But your new name is Israel. He who has striven with divine beings and men and has prevailed. Don't take that lightly.
Mm-mm.
We take names that we acquire for ourselves lightly.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have the names of our slave masters on us.
Mm-hmm.
Johnson, Jones, Williams, Smith. Our ancient fathers had to change their names.
Exactly.
And it wasn't in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that your name change is a blessing. You still calling yourself Williams, Smith, Jones, Johnson? That's a curse.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know too many nations that have taken other nations into captivity, have focused so much on the changing of those individuals they've taken in captivity's name, other than this recent captivity. Where we are concerned, they made it their focal point to take away the name.
Why?
Take away the
names that we have is our power.
Right. So take away the name, take away the memory. They don't know who they are, what they are, and what they should be doing. And the evidence speaks for itself. The name we give don't have no power. Truth be told. All right, may the Most High bless you, listeners, by the reading and intense investigatory studies, but most importantly, the application of the Most High Word into your lives. 30-day chapter. Looking up, Yaakov, Israel, saw Esau coming. Esau was accompanied by 400 men. He divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two handmaids, putting the handmaids and their children first, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph last. He himself went ahead of them and bowed to the ground.
Whoa.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What's the order?
He put them in line of the handmaidens, Leah.
Which he didn't really love. He wasn't trying to marry them.
No. But he cared about that Rachel.
And what did he do? He put her last, didn't he?
Right. He didn't want to get hurt. He said, if he come at me, he going to get the handmaids and them babies. He going to get Leah and her babies. But maybe I get a chance to take Rachel and my little boy Joseph, who I have an affinity, because he has dreams.
Just one son.
One son. And the funny thing about that is this. Not really funny. The serious thing about it, even with him putting his handmaiden and wives in succession, how close they were in his heart. He didn't send them forth first, like unlike some of us to put our women first, eye behind our women's skirt. He was trying to protect these women. He went ahead of them. He didn't stand behind Rachel or Leah or the handmaid. He protected them. Then he went ahead of them. And he says, then he went ahead and bowed low, humbled himself to the ground. He bowed low 7 times until he was bound as he was coming forward, until he came near to his brother, Esau. Esau,
how many
ran.
Of us would do that? Wait a minute. This is my brother.
Right.
I got to talk with him. I got to bow before him. How
we
many
don't
times
have
do you bow before?
We don't have protocol and procedures, and we definitely don't have humility. We think that's
and our father need. Jacob understood that
right.
Esau was in a more powerful position than him.
He
had 400 men. What did Jacob have?
He had his family and his sons and his servants, and I don't think it amassed to 400 fighting men. These were 400 fighting men. Okay.
He didn't have 100 men.
No, no. I don't think a year would accumulate to 100. He just had man servants who were basically shepherds, and he had his sons, and basically that's about the gist of it. So he didn't have the fighting power that his brother Esau had. Esau had those were fighting men. Esau had 400 fighting men. And Esau ran to greet him. Esau was so overwhelmed of his brother's humility, and he hadn't seen him for a while, he embraced him, falling on his neck, and kissed him, and they wept together.
So you got to remember that Jacob sent his big brother all these gifts.
All these gifts.
Then how many rams?
Yeah.
How many lambs?
200,
how many goats? 200. How many camels?
I mean, he sent a whole bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, he said droves and droves of accumulated wealth. Well, he sent a huge sum of wealth in that day in those herds that he sent to his brother. And then, not only that, he didn't come with arrogance and boastfulness. He bowed 7 times as he approached his brother in humility.
Is that the right approach? If you got beef with your brother.
Yeah, I consider under the circumstances, that would be the proper approach.
If you got beef with your brother.
If you
and he ain't coming trying to like attack you with his strength.
Right. Right.
And you trying to attack him with your strength. But your little brother.
Right.
He ain't trying to fight you.
Right.
He's sending you gifts.
Right. And so what can Esau possibly do? I mean, in front of his men, he would have lost face, because the word would have got out. The 400 men will go shut their mouth. So Esau considered the matter. He said, "Wait just a minute. This guy's I ain't seen him in 20 years, and he sent me droves and droves of herds. I said I don't want him. He said, keep my. I want you to have him. Then he's coming to me here in humility. What he's trying to do? He's trying to mend a relationship." He wants the end result to be constructive and positive, even if the final, at the beginning didn't start off, he wants to mend this relationship. And he's coming properly. I'm the oldest brother, and he's coming properly. I can dig that. Now, I can't come at him, because my men will say, man, what kind of man is you, man? Yeah, your brother sent you all these gifts. No, you can't do that now. Come on now. And look at him humming himself for you. He done bowed down 7 times all the way to the ground. And then he limping on that bad hip. I don't know what happened to his hip. And so when Esau was overwhelmed by the circumstance, he said, oh, man, ain't that my brother. That's my baby brother. I ain't seen him, man. Forget all that. You know, just forget about all that. And he ran and he dropped his head on his neck and they cried like the OJs. We cried together. You know, and they cried, they wept together. They was happy to see one of them. They was overwhelmed. Because you got to realize they're twins. And they was overwhelmed to see one another. And that's the proper attitude to have that Yaakov, Israel, had in regards to, that's how you've been a relationship, not with arrogance and not with boastfulness. But what he knows.
Or competition,
right,
or contention.
Right.
I love my brother. He's
right,
my big brother.
Right.
Most I bless me,
right,
and I'm going to share it with him.
Exactly. Even though it started off contentious, it's still my brother. I love my brother. It's just me and him. That's all, just me and him. I love him. And I hope he loves me.
So, I'm going to have to ask you, Yamsuf Ari.
Right.
Our brother Esau.
Right.
Are we treating him like Jacob treated his brother?
No, we really not. Now, truth be told, Esau
okay,
ain't.
Okay, that's important.
Hold on. Because
we trying
on
to go to war with Esau. They stole this, they stole that. No.
Right.
We have to act like our father Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
With our brother Esau.
Right.
Even though he stole our identity,
yeah, mm-hmm,
even though he's trying to act like he's us,
mm-hmm,
our father Jacob didn't go to war with him. Matter of fact,
no,
he gave him gifts.
Right.
He showed him love.
Right.
And we have to take the same approach.
Exactly.
As hard as it is.
Yeah, it's hard.
We have to take the same approach.
Because,
as
but here's
Jacob
what, here's
took,
what you,
because his twin brother, Esau, we hating Esau. Jacob didn't hate Esau. He showed
no
him mad love.
But here's what we feel. Here's what a lot of us feel to understand. And Yaakov, Israel, realize it. What part did I play in this to sever this relationship? What part did I play? I played a part in this. Because Esau wouldn't be feeling the way toward me if I didn't play a part in it. And our brothers, Esau, Edom, wouldn't be feeling some sort of way if we didn't play a part in it. So I think you're right. I think we need to have a better approach when dealing with Esau and Edom, instead of being argumentative, want to fight, want to fuss, want to cuss, name call and whatnot. That is not constructive and a positive. I mean, in the final analysis, the Most High going to make a decision as to what occurred. But I think it's incumbent upon us to have the attitude that Yaakov, Israel, has toward his brother Esau, our kinfolk. Because they are our kinfolk, whether we lack it or not. And so,
how are you supposed to treat your brother?
With love.
If they don't
with
treat
love
us with love, you
no,
have
they
to
don't
show love anyway.
Exactly. Humility and love. That's the requirement.
And how many Israelites today can show love for Esau, who took our identity? No, we still got to show love. He's our brother.
Exactly.
And he feels in his mind that he has a right to the inheritance of his father Isaac.
Exactly.
So we can't, like, yo, that's human feelings.
Right.
And he's our brother.
Exactly.
You can hate him all you want. You can hate him all you want.
But that's not going to solve anything. Okay?
But he is our brother.
Anything. And then he embraced him and fallen on his neck, and he kissed him, and they wept together. Now, looking about, he saw the women. Esau saw the women and the children, and he said, who, he asked, who are these? Who are these folk? And Yaakov, Israel, answered, the children with whom Yah has favored your servant. I'm your servant. The maids with their children came forward and bowed. The women came forward. The maids with their children came forward and bowed low to Esau. Next, Leah with her children came forward and bowed low. And last, Joseph and Rachel came forward and bowed low. And he asked.
That's humility.
Humility.
That's
because
humility.
Apparently.
We got the blessing. You don't. But we still show you deference.
Well, apparently.
You are a big brother.
Right. Apparently he had a discussion with his wife. They knew everything. His handmaid. They knew the dynamics and what had transpired and whatnot. That's why they came forward with their husband with the same demeanor, because they understood the same must be displayed. So by that, it's suggesting that this man has an influence over these women. And these women ain't coming forth arrogant, shaking their head, "You done stole my man's stuff." No. These women are displaying the same attitude which their husband explained, so saying that he exerted an influence upon them, that they must display that same demeanor as he displayed in the children alike.
Which is humility.
Exactly.
We think it's weakness, but it's not.
No. And Esau, what do you mean by all this company which I have met? All these women and little children? What do you mean? He said, "I have met." He answered, "To gain my Lord's favor. I humbled myself and brought my women forth and my children and handmaid to gain your favor." I wouldn't seem to be coming. Right.
That he didn't want to go to war.
Right.
With who? His brother.
Right. I'm not looking for contention. I'm not looking to argue, fuss, and fight with you. And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother." Now that showed that he reciprocated when he said, "I have enough, my brother. I'm good. Let what you have remain yours."
400 men Esau had.
Right.
What else did he need?
Right. But Yaakov said, No. I'm begging you, I pray you, that you would do me this. This is a favor to me. Accept for me this gift. For to see your face is like seeing the face of the Elohim. And, you know, he said, no, brother. No, do this as a favor to me. I know you don't want them. You don't need them. But do it as a favor to me. That'll make me feel better. And just seeing your face. Just like seeing y'all. I'm so elated to see you.
Our father Jacob was trying to kill a hatred that Esau had in his heart for his brother Jacob.
And apparently he did a good job at it, by all intents and purposes. And you have received me favorably. Please accept my presents, which have been brought to you. For Yah has favored me, and I have plenty. And when he urged him, he accepted. And Esau said,
So. It shows that when we have the blessing of Yah, we don't need to be at war with our brothers.
No. He wasn't seeking confrontation. King David was the same type. King David didn't seek confrontation because he said, "I come for peace, but you want war. That's not what I'm looking for." And I guess, you know, he understood about Esau and Israel. And that should be the demeanor one should have. Not looking to come off. That, you know, that's a sad thing, Katria, truth be told. We can't get together tonight in our so-called neighborhoods and communities. It denigrates to cussing, fussing, fighting, and sometimes killing. The fluttering of yellow tape and the flashing of blue and white lights. Because we don't have this attitude. "What you looking at me for? What you looking at my woman for? What you looking at my shoe for? What you step on my..." All this nonsense, man. All this hostility. All this hatred for one another. And not the least for Esau. We need help, brother. We need to get it together. We need to learn what humility is. Because we can't even get together for a picnic, a funeral, or anything else for that matter, because we have the wrong attitude and the wrong demeanor. And we stuck on stupid, brother, truth be told.
The God that we serve is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.
Right.
So we're delving in to how Jacob lived his life. And he didn't hate his brother.
No.
Matter of fact, he's trying to show him favor.
Exactly.
But we all hating Esau. We want to go to war with Esau.
And we
That's not what our father did.
True, we hate on each other, bro. Let alone Esau. Come on, now. We love to hate one another. So, you know, we need to put
it. And what's that doing for us?
Nothing.
Hating each other. What is that doing for us?
Not one thing, not one iota. It's not getting us anywhere with each other, and it's certainly not getting us anywhere with Esau. Okay? So these, like I said, that's the whole primary reason why we're doing these studies, Carter, these intense investigatory studies. Because you want to find out what mistakes you made that's got us in this situation. And so
you want to know the truth, Brother Yam Suvari?
Right.
We're hating our brother Esau, and he's ruling the world.
Exactly. Truth be told. And let's continue on with our studies. And Esau said, let us start on our journey. And I will proceed at your pace. I'm going to travel at your pace. But Yaakov, Israel said to him, my Lord, know that the children are frail, and the flock and herds, which are nursing, are a care to me. If they are driven hard a single day, all the flocks would die. Showing he had concern for his children and his flock. Let my Lord go ahead. Go on ahead of his servant. Why? I travel more slowly at the pace of the cattle before me.
Which means what? What does that mean?
He said he had to go a steady pace. He couldn't move. He couldn't go fast as the men on horseback were. The soldiers,
Shouldn't we be taking that same philosophy? We're not trying to keep up with y'all. We're in a whole nother path.
Right. Because I got to look out for my animals and I got to look out for my children. I got to keep at a pace that is just positioned to their needs. I can't rush my children. They're youngins. And my animals, they're nursing. They're youngins. I got to go to eat. And I don't want to hold you up. So, you know, this sort of helps everybody. I can take care of my children and my animals. I'm not holding you up. And he said, until I come to my lord and seer and his place of his place. Then Esau said, let me assign to you some of the men who are with me. But Yaakov Israel said, oh no, my lord, it's too kind to me. So Esau started back that day on the way to Seir. But Yaakov journeyed on to Sukkot and built a house for himself and made stalls for his cattle. That is why the place is called Sukkot. Yaakov arrived in the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, having come so far from Padanaram. He encamped before the city. The parts of land which he pitched his tent, he purchased from the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 kesta. He set up an altar there and called it El Israel. We're going to stop right there. Cotterell got some more commentaries. I'm going to let him make his more commentary, then we're going to move on. Well, I'm pretty sure he has some more commentaries.
From what we just read, we can see that Jacob moved in accordance with what Yah had commanded him to move. In spite of his brother bringing out 400 men to meet him,
right.
to destroy
well, like
him.
when you said he didn't keep up with the, excuse me, the Joneses. I like that part.
No. Our father, Yaakov Yisrael, after he wrestled the angel and had his name changed, which
right.
put a new vibration, a new blessing on him, even his brother could not suppress him.
Right.
Even though he came out with 400 men. And his intent was to take his brother out.
Uh-huh.
So we have to trust and rely on the Most High Yah, just like our father Jacob did.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what kind of force comes out against you.
Right.
You have to rely and depend on the Most High Yah.
Mm-hmm.
And Esau was our brother, and he came out to destroy us, but he wasn't able to.
Right.
So if not our brother, if the Most High allow our brother to destroy us, he's definitely not going to allow our enemies to destroy us.
Exactly.
So we need to know how to deal with our brother Esau.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel if he has a right to that firstborn inheritance.
Right.
That's why he's battling us.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to act like our father Jacob. We come in peace.
Right.
Trust me, I'm going to give you what you want, what you need, because Yah is blessing me. I got enough. I can bless you with. Yah has blessed me with.
Right.
We're not going to war with our brother Esau. No, Yah is going to battle you.
Yeah.
For what you've done. That's not our battle.
Yeah, that's Yah's fight. We need to treat Esau and Edom just like
our
family.
Because he is our brother, our big brother, just like Ishmael. Yeah.
Right. Put out all the hostility and this back and forth argument, and I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to, no. No, that's not going to serve. That is not going to serve any constructive and a positive purpose. It's a waste of time with that nonsense. Just treat them right and keep it moving, and the Most High deal with it at the end of the day.
And that's our MO, because that's how
right.
we deal with each other, much
exactly.
less our brother Esau.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
we have to mend relationships with each other.
Yeah, we have to.
Yes.
It is imperative that we do no more or no less than try to mend these broken relationships. Male upon us, female, female upon male, brother upon brother, sister upon sisters, and us against Edom and Esau, and so on and so forth. Because it's our job to draw all nations to the Most High, not to cause agitation and friction for no reason other than ego run amok.
How are we going to do that if we're fighting with each other?
Well, we can't do that.
Why should nations follow us when we're fighting with each other?
You know what I'm saying? You can't go to a picnic. You can't go to a park. You can't go to a funeral with each other. Come on, man. Stop it. Keep it real. And you're right, Cartier. I'm glad you pointed that out to the fellow students that they need to learn this. The attitude that you got is not working for you. That is not us. You're emulating your oppressors, and you're choosing all his ways in order to handle matters. And you're not handling matters. Those matters are handling you. And you need to handle matters according to the way we handle matters, or we should handle matters according to our founding father, Yaakov, Israel.
And if you follow in their ways, you're going to try to kidnap the
yeah.
governor of a state.
Yep.
Put them on trial.
Yep.
Because you're trying to uphold democracy.
Yeah. Gotcha. You know, we talk about us, and let's be honest. We do try to do some stupid stuff as people, and I love our people. We try to.
We broke their people, man.
Yeah, we broke their people. But look here, they ain't no better. How they going to go up against an army? You trying to make bombs. You ain't got no syntax to make plastic explosives. You try to make some weapons. like the government ain't got helicopters to go across that bridge. you gonna stop them from telling you when you kidnapped the governor, and they ain't gonna be able to cross the bridge, but they got helicopters they can put up with, and you think they If this had happened and you'd have kidnapped that woman, they'd have threw everything at you but the kitchen sink. Okay?
But they think about that. Yeah. You kidnapping the governor of one of the 50 states.
Man, they'd have threw everything.
United States of America.
Yeah.
And in your own little private area, you're
right.
Putting her on trial.
Right.
And it's already a foregone conclusion that you're going to find her guilty.
Yeah.
You the judge, the jury, and the executioner.
You got some nerves.
And your intent is not to give her a fair trial, but
no,
to
you
execute her,
mm-hmm.
a governor of one of the 50 states. Wait a minute. How old are you?
I'll be 64 next week. Next week.
Okay, you trying to catch up. You trying to catch up because I'm 64.
Yeah,
right? But anyway, in our lifetime, we have never seen United States citizen trying to kidnap one of their own governors, put him on trial, judge, jury, and executioner. And listen, she's so glad that the FBI was on their job. They infiltrated.
Right. They
put spies in there and they had informants in there.
Gotcha. How ludicrous.
Because if not for that,
right,
that woman would be dead.
Cartrell, how ludicrous does it sound, bro?
That's crazy.
You're going to kidnap this woman.
And you're trying to uphold democracy?
Right. She's shutting the...
Go
she
out and vote?
She's shutting... No, she's shutting the economics down to save lives.
Exactly.
But you want her to open the economy up. The hell with life.
Yo. They
want
to bring law enforcement out on our people,
mm-hmm.
who's protesting Black Lives Matter, right?
Exactly.
But you got the white supremacists rolling up on government property with AK-47. What's that other gun they got? What's the gun that white boy was carrying?
The AK-47s. The AK-47s. Modified.
Or A-15.
Yeah. And the same thing, AR-15. They're modified AK-47s.
These fools marched into the government property of the United States of America with those type of weapons. No police.
But we the bad guys.
No National Guard.
Okay.
These same dudes got a plot and a scheme to even kidnap the government.
But
put
we
on
bad.
Trial.
You're asking, don't kill us no more in the street. Don't pull us over and shoot us in the car like Orlando. And I'm trying to get my ID out. You asked me for my I thought you were owner. The ID looked like a gun. And
let me show you this. Because Israelites who reclaimed their heritage, their identity, their ethnicity, their roots and culture.
Right.
You know what they call us?
Was that terrorists?
Black identity extremists.
And we're not promoting violence against nobody. Now,
how are you extreme?
I called. You have been denied right.
Your identity, who you are. You call yourself Black Negro, African American, colored Negro. But when we find out who we really are, now we extreme. Black identity extremists. What other people do they label that? Irish identity extremists? English identity extremists? No other people on the planet of Earth have been denied their identity. And when we find out our identity, who we really are, over all the years you have been denying us our identity, we Black, we Negro, we colored, we Democrat, we Republican, we Muslim, all these other identities we've taken upon ourselves. When we find out who we are, we extremists in finding out who we are.
Yep. That's
all the peoples that they do that too.
That's the way it is in your enemy's land, Cottrell. Now, you know that goes without saying. We've dealt with this 400 years. As long as we were colored, Afro-Americans, African-Americans, well, they were okay with those names, those misnomers.
Democrat, Republican.
Right. As long as we were all those,
independent.
They were okay with it. But we became an extremist when we found out who, man, they are extremely trying to find out who they are. Damn extremists. Man, it's crazy. Let's continue on in our studies, Cottrell, shall we? Listeners, thank you, Cottrell, for your commentary. Listeners, turn to chapter 10, Job. And in this chapter, he said, I would plead with Yah if he could, but in actuality, he know he can't, but he's putting forth these premises that he would plead with Yah if he could. He said, my soul loathe my life. My soul.
What chapter
loathe.
Are you in?
Chapter 10.
Chapter 10.
Yeah. He said, my soul loathes my physical life. I will give free course to my complaint because of that. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul, not in my physical. I will say to Yah, do not condemn me. Show me why you contending with me. Show me where I'm in error, Yah. Does it seem good to you that you should oppress me? That you should despise the work of my hands? And smile on the counsel of the wicked, these three fellows? Smile on the counsel of these three fellows? Do you have eyes of flesh? Are you not human? Do you see as a man, you're not human? Are your days like the days of a mortal? You're not human. And your years like the days of a mighty man? You're not human. That you should seek my iniquity, that you should seek out my iniquity and search out my sin. You ain't got time for that. Although you know that I'm not wicked, and there is no one who can deliver, and there's no one who can deliver from your hand. When you put your hands on folks, hey, can't nobody deliver me or anyone else from you.
So I got to stop you.
Okay.
Because Job is looking for answers, not from his friends.
Right.
But from the Most High directly.
Exactly.
That's and the Most High's not giving him an answer.
Right.
Because the adversary challenged Yah.
Right.
Right.
So he can't answer me now.
Huh?
He's not answering him right now.
No.
But,
Job got to go through this.
Right.
But he's looking for the right path. Why, Yah, am I going through this?
Right.
And Yah saying,
that's
in silence, you got to go through this to prove to the adversary that your heart is towards me, regardless of what you're going through.
Exactly. You got to go through something to get something. And he says, your hands have made me and fashioned me. You've made me. You've created me. An intricate unity. You've made me an intricate unity. Yet you would destroy me. Remember, I pray that you made me like clay. And will you turn me into dust again? You made me. Will you from the dust we came, and for will you make me go back to this dust? Did you pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? And you clothed me with skin and flesh. You knitted me together with bones and sinew, didn't you? You granted me life and favor. And your care has preserved my spirit. Your care for me.
Many of us understand that. What he just said.
Exactly.
How many of us understand that? Because we think we're something special, like you say.
Yeah, we think we're something special, but we don't understand. And Job is breaking it down, not only he's trying to explain himself to Yah, but that lesson carries over to today. And that's the mindset that you should have. Because he said, you grant me life and favor. Whatever I got it from you. Everything I got from you. And your care
you came from one
care.
Sperm.
Right.
Amongst billions of sperms.
Mm-hmm.
And you made it to the egg.
Exactly.
All the sperms don't make it to the egg.
No, only one.
Only one. You was the only one.
Yep. And that's something only unique one. In itself. That's intricate. That's intricate, like he said. That's an intricate unity. And these things you have hidden in my heart. You put these things in my heart. I know that this was you. If I see it, you mark me.
He said what? If I sin.
If
he
said,
I have sinned and you have marked me.
No, he said, if I sin, you will mark me or anyone else for that matter. And be aware for any one of our fellow students. If you sin, then Yah will mark you.
But Job wasn't being marked for his sin or his iniquity, was he?
No, he was being tested.
All right.
Because the prosecutor, Satan,
who is powerful and more higher than he.
Exactly. And he says, I will not acquit me of my iniquity. I won't dissolve me of my iniquity if I've done something wrong. If I'm wicked, woe to me. That's on me.
Right.
Even if I'm righteous, I can't lift up my head to you. I still got to humble myself before you. Because in this human body, I'm full of disgrace.
Whoa. Don't run past that.
Right.
Because Job was not a wicked man, was he?
No, he wasn't. But even
he's a righteous man, right?
But even that being said, he understood his dynamic. In this body, I'm full of disgrace. I still got to do.
Even if you're righteous, because we know Job was a righteous man.
Right. But he said, in this human form, I'm full of disgrace.
Mm-hmm.
See my misery. If my head is exalted, lifted up, you will hunt me like a fierce lion. If I'm lifted up with pride, you will hunt me like a fierce lion. And again, you show yourself awesome against me.
What are we against Yah? What are we? We're but dust. Yah blows on us and we gone.
Right. Exactly. And he says, you renew your witnesses against me and increase your indignation toward me. Changes and war are ever with me in this human life, in this human form. Changes
That's
and war.
Adversary ever. Testing us.
Right. Ever.
But Job was a righteous man.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And the adversary said, let me test this man.
Right. So when you're going through trying times, Cartrell, as is alluded to, changes in war are ever with me in this human form. Because the adversary may ask for Cartrell. The adversary may ask for Yam Su. The adversary may ask for you. Changes in war are ever with us in this human form.
And the question is, in that battle, are you strong enough to stand up with your loyalty towards Yah?
That's the question. That's the question all of us must answer. And he says, why then have you brought me out of the womb, Yah?
Huh.
Oh, that I had perished and no eyes ever seen me.
That's what I was saying when I was 14 years old. I can relate to
you. When you were going through your changes.
Oh, yeah.
Wars against you. But you came
through.
Stop
the planet. I want to get off. There is
you
no love.
Through. But you know what, Cartrell? Truth be told, those sentiments, Cartrell, are with all of us. A lot of people deny that they have had
Why
those.
Why was I born? For what?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of us.
I'm sure. All the street people, all the homeless people in America got this same sentiment right here.
Sentiment. Same. Man, what am I here for? I mean, why am I going through all these changes? What's the whole point of me being here for? You know,
why did you bring me out of the womb? For what?
Right. To go through all this. So those sentiments are quite familiar, brothers. And don't feel ashamed that you may have those sentiments. They're understandable. Job had those sentiments. Those suicide sentiments. I mean, going
he was rich in the beginning,
yeah.
right? He was rich. He had everything.
Right.
Riches
so
don't mean nothing.
Right. Don't put yourself down. Don't think less than. You just got to go through it. Go through it. Go through it. Because change is the world.
Stay faithful to your creator.
Right. Exactly. And he says, I would have been as though I had never been. I would have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are my days few? Yes, they are. Then he says, cease, Most High, leave me alone, that I may take a little comfort.
Now, he took it to his friend. He ain't looking to the Most High.
Okay, let's get it straight then.
Leave me alone. I don't need your criticism. I don't need your analysis.
Right.
I'm suffering this by myself.
Well, let me reread that.
I still got faith in you.
I want to read it in its right context then.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the word can get out in its right context. He tells his friend, now, all three of y'all, cease. Leave me alone, that I may take a little comfort before I go to the place which I should never return, to the land of darkness, to the shadow of death, a land as dark as darkness itself, as the shadow of death without any order, where even the light is like darkness. You know, I mean, that's a hard place to go. That's a place you're supposed to be going to rest. Don't seem like that's a 4-star at the Marriott Cartrail. That place, because it's a place where you're going to rest, but don't seem like a 4-star with the Marriott and everything. They got latte machines and everything, gold streets and everything, what they tell you. It's a place where you're going to rest. Over the judgment, because as we talked about, the prophet as Saul, King Saul, hey man, what you wake me up for, man? Don't worry about it. You and your son's gonna be right where I'm at. You know we don't mess with witches and necromancers. The witch of Endor, you know better than that. So that place is right. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Cadrell.
Job was prepared for death.
Right. He was prepared.
And I've seen the good and the bad.
Right.
And I know that the Most High is in control.
Exactly.
If y'all supposed to be my friends, it doesn't matter what y'all say. It is what it is.
Exactly.
So if I got to die and go into that darkness, that's where I'm going to go.
Exactly.
That's my destiny. So he's at peace, really, with himself. Although he's going through all this agony, all this stress. He lost this and he lost that.
Right.
Job is still at peace with himself and his connection with the Most High.
Yeah. Yeah. So he said, leave me alone so I can get a look.
Leave me alone. Stop talking. I don't need to hear all this dumb stuff.
Yeah. You are born. I'm good with that. Just leave me alone. Y'all, I done lost my children. I done lost my cameras. I done lost my ass. I got this wife nagging me.
Come with accusations like my son was guilty of something when they wasn't.
Right.
Nah, shut up. I don't need to hear y'all talking and bringing all this added misery to me. I don't need that. I'm secure. I'm comfortable. I'm at peace. If I have to die, I'll die.
Right.
It don't matter.
But my fellow students, can you say the same when it comes to you?
Woo-wee.
Can you say the same in your relationship to Yah when it comes to you? Can you have that same mindset? If you can't have that mindset, I suggest you put in work that you have a mindset like that. If you're scared of the grave and you're scared of death, you got problems. you got real problems. I suggest you make it right with the Most High, and you ask to forgive you of all your shortcomings. And we have a multitude of each of us. Have a multitude of them. And then even that being said, when you correct them, you still can't lift your head before the Most High and exalt yourself. You got to keep being humble and keep being dependent on Yah and keep making corrections as you go and keep it trusted in the Most High. You better have the mindset like Job. That's my suggestion. What say you, Cartrell?
I got a question. How many of us are going to die?
Well, if the Most High don't restore us, you might count on all of us.
How many of us are going to die?
All of us.
So why are we fearing death when we know we all going to die?
Man, that's something you ought to be prepared for the day you're born. The day you're born is the day you start dying. You ought to be prepared. So if you got to hold on to life, tell me I'm going to live forever.
I know I'm going to die.
You have to prepare yourself.
And if I don't think I'm going to die, I'm stupid.
Yeah. And I know I'm, and I just want to be right. And then I hope that I'm doing enough, putting in enough good work with y'all, and I'm humble to y'all, and I've made corrections to y'all, that he will restore my soul for his name's sake.
Really? So,
right.
You think I fear death?
Nah. Man, this is
we
death.
All got to go through that door, right?
This is hell. This is hell.
So what are we afraid of? Because you know you got to go through that door.
You got to go. You run, but you can't hide.
No ifs, ands, or buts about it, right?
You run, but you can't hide. You know, they got
you
a
can't
saying.
Hide from death. It's waiting for you.
Yeah, they got a
but
saying.
You know, there's two doors of death, right?
Right.
The door of no return.
Right.
And the door where you rest in peace.
Right.
The door of no return. And a door where you rest in peace.
You rest in peace. So let's make sure that y'all are going through the right door. And that's why it's an imperative that y'all take these studies to heart. Don't take them lightly. And take them quite seriously. And make the right application to your lives. Don't depend on what your suit talking about. You depend on what the Most High, because I can't see you through any door. I'm looking for the right door myself.
But so when I say doors, who created your soul? Did your mother and father create your soul?
Nope.
And who takes the soul after the Most High takes the life that's in that soul? Who takes that soul? Your mother and father?
Who takes that soul?
Huh?
The Most High takes that soul back.
The one who created the soul is going to take that soul regardless of your mother and father, right?
Yeah.
We understand.
You want to be in a land of darkness and rest, not in that deep ditch. Not in the deep ditch where some Egyptians at, where some Babylonians at. And soon to be a whole lot more people, unfortunately. Soon to be a whole lot more people.
So this last part of the chapter goes into the portion of death where we understand. It says, before I go to the place from which I shall not return, and the only reason you're not going to return is because you're wicked.
Right.
To the land of darkness.
Right.
And death.
Right.
A land as dark as darkness itself, as a shadow of death without order.
Mm-hmm.
Where even light, darkness. So we don't even know what this prophet is talking about.
No, we have no idea.
Right?
What those places look like.
And science and Western education can't teach you what this is talking about right here.
Exactly. Well, fellow students, as I always say, it's imperative that you learn this. And you apply this. Theory is good, but application is far better, because your very soul is dependent upon your application. Truth be told. Contrary, my brother and friend, well, I know you have a lovely song for us, and we're all ears. May the Most High bless you.
Oh, yes, sir. Our King David was truly inspirational.
Truth be told.
And writing his words down on paper, how he connected with the Most High. Yeah. So Psalm 69 69th Psalm is a psalm of King David. And we have to know these songs were put in the form of music, like we do as a people. We are very musically inclined. You talk about Marvin Gaye, the Last Poets, and our people who put Curtis Mayfield, who put conscious level standing in the form of music. And we look to our roots. These are the things that our ancient fathers did. So King David, our king, he put serious things in the form of music and song. He called them songs, but they're basically music.
Exactly.
So if you're with me, we're going to read the 69th Psalm, a psalm of our king, King David. Save me, O Elohim, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire. How are you going to get out of that situation without Yah? Can
like
you swim?
Yeah, that's like quicksand.
Yeah, where there is no standing, I have come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my Elohim. What was King David doing?
Waiting for Yah.
Waiting. Waiting. And while he's waiting, he ain't sitting in no rocking chair. Where you say he's at? He said, I'm in the waters where there is no standing. I come into deep waters and the floods overflow me. But he's still waiting, ain't he? So we in deep waters. The floods have overflown us. Coronavirus. We can't go back to our normal jobs. Our throat is dry. You know, we, you know, speaking to people and they ain't hearing us. He says, those who hate me without cause are more than the hairs of my head. Can we acknowledge that in the situation that we in? Those who hate us without a cause are more than the hairs of our head. Why do white people hate us? For what? Do we make them slaves?
No.
Do we make them work 400 years for us? Can't see
no.
sun up to can't see sun down and treat them as animals? Do we do that?
No.
Why do they hate us more than we hate them?
Without a cause.
Those who hate me without a cause are more. How many hairs you got on the head of your head?
A whole lot, brother.
You know? You think 100,000? Hairs on your head?
Maybe more than that, country.
Okay. So our situation is just like King David, because guess what he says next? They are mighty. The people that hate us mighty?
They certainly are.
Who would destroy us? Would they destroy us?
They certainly are. And they certainly
will.
So
in the same situation, they are mighty, and they would destroy us if the Most High would let them. If the Most High didn't let them, you think we would be here talking on this phone?
I don't think so.
Okay. Being my enemies wrongfully, what have we done to these people that they hate us so much?
Mm-hmm.
What? Tell me one thing we have done to them to the degree they got skinheads, neo-Nazis, Proud Boys, Boogaloo Boys. What have we done to them?
Exactly.
Says, the Almighty who would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully. And these people are wrongfully our enemies. We haven't done anything to them. As a matter of fact, we have blessed them. Though I have not stolen nothing. What have we stole from them? Their women? Did we steal their children? Did we steal their wealth?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's what it's saying, right?
Yeah.
They wrongfully hate us, right?
Exactly.
It's so important. Those who hate me without a cause, they want to build prison industrial complex, throw our brothers in prison, break up our families, treat us like we thugs, we gangsters, and we're the blessing to America. The Almighty who would destroy us without cause, being our enemies wrongfully, though I have not stolen anything, I still must restore it. That's why you pay taxes, right?
Exactly.
You still paying taxes up?
No, I don't pay taxes no more.
All right. Our people out there working paying taxes. They say we owe them.
Yeah, yes,
do they
I do.
Do they owe us or do we owe them?
Yeah, we still pay taxes in some form. Maybe not federal taxes, but everything else you pay taxes on.
So it says, O Elohim, you know my foolishness. And Yah lays out our rap sheet, right? And our sins are not hidden from you, which is why Yah lays out our rap sheet through the prophets. Let not those who wait for you. Are we waiting for Yah?
Certainly some of us are.
Because that's what we should be doing, right? Waiting for Yah.
We should.
Not leaning upon our own understanding.
That's
we should all be waiting for Yah. Because we want to be amongst those that it says, let not those who wait for Yah, O Yah Elohim of hosts, be ashamed because of me, the prophet who's trying to bring this message.
Right.
Because he don't want his message to be wrong. Let not those who seek you be confounded. Are we confounded because we're seeking Yah? The more we seek Yah, the more the vision is crystal clear, right?
Exactly.
People that's not seeking Yah, they can't see. They confounded. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, Yam Sufa Ari and Katriel. Don't let them be confounded because
right.
They're seeking you, because we're trying to show them the way to you by your words, Yah. Right?
True.
Because for your sake, I have borne reproach. So they're saying Yam Sufa is crazy. Mori Katia is crazy, and that's the reproach we bear. Because for your sake, we need to bring this message forth to our people for the Most High's sake and for our people's sake. And the people criticize us. Go ahead with yourself.
I'm good with it. I don't take it personally.
Shame has covered my face. I become a stranger to my brothers. That's why they talk about us like the way they do. We strangers to our brothers. Even
right.
though we're trying to save them. We're strangers
right.
to our brothers, even though we're trying to save them.
Exactly.
And an alien to my brother's children, because zeal for your house has eaten me up. And Yam Suf, I know you got the zeal, and you know I got to have the zeal to be doing what I'm doing. I got that zeal. Do you have that zeal? Those who are listening, do you have that zeal? Because people will say you crazy.
Certainly.
You got to have that zeal. You got that zeal? Get that zeal if you ain't got it. And the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. So, yeah, they criticize us. They try to chop us up, trying to say we crazy. We bring in the word of Yah.
Yeah.
When I wept, you chasing my soul with fasting. That became my reproach. I also became sackcloth, my garment. I became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gate speak against me, and I am the song of the drunkards. Yeah, so social media has amplified that. But after me, my prayers to you. I don't care what they're doing on social media, what they're saying about us. My prayer is to the Creator. Oh, Yah, in the acceptable time, O Elohim, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, because we in the muck and the mire amongst our people in captivity. Would you concur with that, y'all?
Yeah, I concur with that, brother.
The muck and the mire. Deliver me out of the mire. You don't want to be stuck in the mire or the muck and the mire. Deliver us out of the muck and the mire. And let me not sink, because if you're stuck in the muck and the mire, guess what you're going to do? You're going to sink more and more. It's like quicksand.
Exactly.
Let me be delivered from those who hate me. How many people hate us, huh? Because we teach them the truth.
Shoot.
How many people hate us because we teach them the truth?
I can't count them all.
And are we in deep waters? The more we teach truth, the deeper the water's going to get. Don't worry. Because if you can float, if you can swim, you could tread water. no matter how deep the waters are, right?
Exactly.
Let not the flood waters overflow me, because Yah controls the waters, the air, the wind, the fire, the air. Yah ain't going to let it overflow you. Nor let the deep swallow me up, because you can get swallowed up in the deep. If you can't tread water, you can't swim, and you don't know what you're doing in the waters.
Exactly.
Nor let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me, because people out there trying to set pits up to swallow us up. Hear me, O Elohim, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitudes of your mercy. That's what we're looking for. Seeking Yah in his loving kindness and his tender mercies. And do not hide your face from your servant. We are serving Yah. Are you serving Yah? If you're serving Yah, we're asking Yah not to hide his face from us, because we dedicate our lives, our soul, our might, our strength, everything we have with our beings to being servants to Yah. Can you say that? Are you a servant of Yah? Are you serving yourself? Are you serving your enemies? Do not hide your face from your servant. Are we serving Yah? For I am in trouble. Are we in trouble?
We certainly are.
Are we in trouble?
We are big trouble.
And at the same time, are we serving Yah?
We're trying our best, brother. We're trying our best.
If we serving Yah and we in trouble, this is the call we need to make, bro. Right?
Right.
Do not hide your face from us, your servant, Yah, for we are in trouble. Let's all of us declare that. If you're not serving Yah, you can't declare that, right?
Exactly.
Hear me speedily. And those who are serving Yah and are in trouble, Yah's going to hear them speedily. Just like in the days of old. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. How many enemies you got?
Can't count them all.
Can't even count them. You know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. We all in that boat, right?
Truth be told.
Yah knows our reproach. He knows our shame. And he knows our dishonor. Do we know it?
Yeah, I think we know it individually.
Most of our people don't even know their reproach, their shame, and their dishonor. We don't know it, which is why we try to appeal to our enemy as opposed to Yah.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know our reproach. We don't know our shame. We don't know how we've been dishonored. That's why we fight for Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
My adversaries are all before you. And who opposes Black Lives Matter? Because we don't know our reproach, our shame, and our dishonor. I am full of heaviness. Our people are full of heaviness. I look for someone to take pity, but there was none. And that's our people's position. Black Lives Matter. We look for pity. People don't pity us.
No.
And for comforters, people don't comfort us, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Yeah, you take that vaccine. Let their table become a snare for them, before them, which is what Yah's doing. You're trying to put it on us, but you got it. And their well-being a trap, which is why COVID-19 has penetrated the White House. Let their eyes be darkened so they do not see, and make their loins shake continually. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your wrathful anger take hold of them, which is what is happening. Let no one live in their tents, for they persecute the ones you have struck, and talk of the grief those you have wounded. Who has Yah struck?
He struck us, brother.
Who is he wounded?
He wounded us.
Who they persecuting?
All of us.
For they persecute the ones you have struck, and talk of the grief of those you have wounded. Add iniquity to their iniquity. Ain't that what Yah's doing? Mm-hmm. He's exposing them. He's lifting up the skirts of Babylon to show how corrupt they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let them not come into your righteousness. They're so far from Yah's righteousness, they don't even have a chance. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O Elohim, set me up on high. Most of our people looking in the churches and the Catholic order for salvation, but salvation is right here. And we have to look for it from the Most High God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am poor and sorrowful. Let your salvation, O Elohim, set me up on high. And I will praise the name of Elohim with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please Yah better than ox or bull, which has horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and you who seek Yah, how many of us are seeking Yah? Your heart shall live, for Yah hears the poor and does not despise his prisoners. Let heavens and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them, for Elohim will save Zion and build the cities of Yehuda, that they may dwell there and possess it. Also, the descendants of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. So that's not just for Israel. That's for all the world, all the nation. How many people on earth love the name of the Creator?
Not many, unfortunately.
So that's it in a nutshell. Prophet broke it down. King David.
Oh.
It's not just a prayer, but a prophecy.
All right, listeners. Well, I hope something that was said today that you found informative so you can make the right application. Cartrell, I want to thank you, my brother. I want to thank you, too, listeners, fellow students, for joining with us to do these imperative, intense, investigatory studies. Now, we can only pray that you put these into action by your application.
Y'all, so.
Yes.
This is family night, Friday. Anybody trying to chime in?
No. Anybody trying to chime in?
Okay.
All right, you know, HIME, you know, I'll bring them right on, but they don't send them. I can't do nothing.
All right,
my brothers and sisters, well, the rest of the weekend, you be safe out there. Follow the instructions from CDC guidelines in relation to this COVID-19. Take care of yourselves and take care of each other. I don't know where you're going, but you're finna get ready to get out of here. Stop leaning to your own understanding. Start doing these intense investigatory studies with us. And most importantly, and family, make the application. We love you. And may the Most High direct and order your steps. And start leaning to your own understanding. Why? Because our thinkers are broken. May the Most High bless you. Thank you, Cartrell.
Thank you, Brother Yasuwari.
Okay. Shalom, listeners. May the Most High bless you. Good night.
We're broken people now. We're burning now. So cold and bleeding now. Gonna let people now. We're broken people.
never be nothing, ain't that something? I've risen from the bottom, I got them eyes on the prize, and inside them, damn right I overcame. Y'all know the name, we similar but never been the same. Everybody, yeah, they know the name right now. I'ma make it somehow, make it some way. Yeah, you know we gon' get it today. Like, I'm all on my own now, but won't ever let you down, won't let you down,
down, down.
Yes, I've been through it, they know I do it for the people I'm fighting, so we be equal for my son and my sequel, and anybody who listening in they system like venom, I get in them and spread viciously. This is
we're
me.
We're broken people now. We're burning out. So cold, I'm bleeding now, now, now. Gonna let
rap addict, giving it every part of myself on the real, you would think I'd be asthmatic, allergic to your bullshit, yeah that's right, I done had it, real all the time, if you rep it, get it, cat it right now, it's right here, a vibe right now, I am too alive right now, I'm alive right now, come on, feel the vibe right now, feel the vibe, yes, I've been through it, they know I do it for the people I'm fighting, so we be equal for my son and my sequel, and anybody who listening in they system like venom, I get in them and spread viciously, this is
we're
me,
we're broken people now. Between our streets.